Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Paul Keith Davis, is red hot for the Messiah. We're platforming his book, Angels That Gather, this week. Why should someone read this book, Paul Keith Davis?
I think the people that are reading this book are the ones that are hungry for destiny, they're hungry for purpose, and they want to be plugged into what God is doing in this generation.
What do you mean, hungry for destiny?
We're seeing all over the body of Christ and in the world, even in people that are not even saved, that there is one thing that is paramount. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we as Christians have the greatest purpose, living in the greatest generation of any that has ever been destined to walk the face of the earth. And there are people who have been imparted with the seed of destiny for this generation that is profound. That people want to know, can I walk with God? Can I really know God? And, of course, the answer to that question is yes. We've given them religion, but now we're promoting relationship.
Now, people that are either hearing you speak on this subject, and this came as a result in 2003 in Albany, Oregon, you literally, the lenses came off your eyes, and you saw angels, and they identified themselves as angels that gather. When you share about this, and you just share the teaching, or people read your book, Angels That Gather, tell me what's happened to some of them.
We've had wonderful testimonies, both from church leaders, Christian leaders, ministry leaders, and pastors. One, for instance, I had a man come from Singapore who has a very large ministry to the Asian nations, even into China. And the Lord told him to come to one of my meetings in Kansas City, Missouri. And this man said, Lord, I don't have time to go to the United States. And he said, besides that, I don't go to conferences. I put on conferences. And the Lord said, go. And so this man came with his very large ministry, sat through the meetings, and didn't really hear anything that he thought was worth flying from Singapore to here, until finally on the last evening I brought the message on the angels that gather. And the Lord spoke to him. He came to me after the meeting. I had not met him before. But he said, this is why I was sent. The Lord sent me here to hear this message. And so I got an email from him about a year later, and he has had a conference where he's had 600 or 800 people coming to his conference in Singapore. But he said they began to do one thing differently, and only one thing, from all the prior years. In their intercession for the next conference, they began to release the angels that gather. And their conference went from 600 to 800 to 1,600 the next year, with nothing different other than the fact they released the angels that gather to bring every person into the meeting that needed to hear what was going to take place. And then the next year it went to 2,000, and it's gone beyond that now. And it's not so much about just having a big meeting. It's about people hearing what they need to hear to activate them into the purpose for which they were born. We had another wonderful testimony from a church up in North Alabama. Wasn't a very large church, a few hundred people, but I brought the message on the angels that gather, and it just so happened that the associate pastor of the church was also a school teacher and basketball coach at the local high school. Well, this was really dear to me because we love young people. But he calls me up, just a few weeks after I was there. He said for the last year or more, he had been, testifying to and just trying to win his basketball team. He had 15 people on his basketball team, 15 young men. And he said, I haven't had one person respond, not even one show the slightest interest. And so he and his wife did nothing different but just began to release the angels that gather. They said, Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest, and we release the angels that gather to bring in a harvest of these young men. He said no sooner had they prayed that prayer that literally one afternoon he heard a knock on his front door, and three of those young men were at his door saying, what do we need to do to be saved? That probably touched me more than anything and just gave a little token representation that, how we are going to cooperate with heaven to bring in this generation of champions.
Well, could you pray right now for people that have children that are backslidden or that perhaps don't know the Lord, and the angels would be released to gather them into the kingdom?
Absolutely. And we're seeing that too. We're seeing prodigal sons and daughters coming home. I've gotten regular mail from mothers who have sons in prison. Some, I've gotten two from two different prisoners that are reading our material, so I'll be happy to. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of the harvest, and there is none like you. You are the chiefest among 10,000, the one that is altogether lovely. And we thank you for this privilege that we have to live in this day, the day of the harvest, the day that you're going to co-labor with your people on the earth to bring in the greatest wave of harvest the world has ever seen. And right now, Lord, according to your word, you said that you would send the angels that gather out of your kingdom all stumbling blocks and everything that's offensive. And Lord, we ask that you send those angels right now to remove every stumbling block that stands before those destined for salvation. Lord, we're asking that you remove the stumbling block of addiction from prodigals, the stumbling block of unbelief, the stumbling block of rebellion against the sons and the daughters of all these families that are listening to these broadcasts. Lord, we're asking that you break the shackles of darkness that have held people bound, and that you would awaken desperation and a desire to live with you in the kingdom of light. Release that, Lord, so that we can see this harvest coming in to your great glory. We ask in Jesus' name.
Paul, what is going on? I can feel the presence of God on that prayer. What is going on in the spirit realm as you're praying that?
I believe when we pray that kind of a prayer that it releases this host of angels, and we don't know who they're going to. God does, but they're being sent. And we have actually seen this where these angels are sent to people that are prayed for, and they will whisper in their ear day and night, you need to get saved, you need to get right with God. Just a constant whispering in the ear and a provoking of the hearts of those people, wherever they are, whether they're in a bar at some place or whether they're running from God or whether they're on the streets, wherever they may be, we're seeing these angels are being dispatched and assigned to them and staying there until that person comes around.
Paul, why should someone read your book, Angels That Gather?
The target of our book is to awaken people to where we are in history, one of the primary things, where we are positioned in human history, and that we are probably the most privileged generation, though we don't look like it on the outside. We're one of the most privileged generations to live in the day when we're going to see the Word of God manifested in a way that's going to bring in the greatest harvest. Everything has been about the harvest. Heaven must retain the Lord Jesus until there has been the restoration of all things. And we're seeing that happening now, and a portion of our book is to address that generation that is going to be awakened to that purpose so that we can cooperate with God to see that happen.
So literally, we can cooperate with God to be empowered for the end of the age harvest. And the end of the age harvest, as you've explained, is not just souls. There are promises that, in fact, you were saying, and you talk about in your book, some of these great men and women of God that perhaps didn't accomplish all they were supposed to, those anointings are waiting for us now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it'll come in double portion as well. Just like we saw the anointing pass from Elijah to Elisha, so also will these anointings be imparted to this company of people. And Sid, you know, one interesting thing I'll close with too, the Lord said something to me last year that was so profound because of the way he said it. He said, I will have my harvest. That was just the way he said it.
So the question is whether we want to be involved with it or not, whether we want to be a spectator or a participant.
That's exactly it. The only variable is who is going to cooperate, work with him, and become joined with him for this purpose, the greatest privilege that any generation has ever been offered. There is no power in existence that can keep the Lord from having his harvest.
Now, you said you cannot meet the needs of people until you meet the need of God. Briefly, what did you mean?
God has a need for fellowship. As profound as that may sound, the whole purpose of the creation of man was for fellowship. And I have to be honest with you, when I first began in ministry, I thought my purpose was to do ministry. But I have modified that. I know now my purpose is to have fellowship with God. I can't think of a greater privilege. I can't think of anything that I would rather do. But in the midst of that, he also, you know, allows us, and I believe that's the proper term, allows us to be joined with him in this mandate, in this purpose that he has to see the great Moravian prayer fulfilled. That is, that the Lord Jesus would receive the full measure of his reward.
Mishpocha, consider yourself challenged. There's really an anointing on this book, Angels That Gather, and it's an anointing for you to prophetically access your inheritance for the end times. We are in the end times, and as Paul Keith Davis says, there is a harvest of the harvesters. You are to be harvested, to be a harvester right now. Get the book, read it, do the stuff. Donation of $20. Shabbat broadcast. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzikenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha Yisarona Asem lecha shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.